Yo, what's up? It's Brandon for another episode of What's Going On In There. whatever reason that made me crack up. This is episode number 2, and this is going to be something a little... This is not going to be like just me rambling and talking and sharing some information. I'm going to talk a little bit more about... I'm actually going to review the movie... Dolomite Is My Name on Netflix. And if you haven't seen it, then you definitely need to go watch it. But you should listen to this first so you can get an understanding why you should go watch it and why you should be so pumped about it in general. So first of all, I've been hearing about this and I saw some like coming attractions, and then I've heard the name Dolomite. I just didn't realize this was based off a true story, and that's what it is. And it's a fantastic story. Like, story wise, I don't think you can beat this. It was something for me personally. Like, having someone who's a positive mindset, also someone who's in the industry of breaking into the entertainment business, I can really relate to this. And it's just a terrific story about some guy who, you know, found some fame, found a niche, really. He found his calling, found his niche, started making some money off of it, but he wanted to go bigger. Like, he wasn't satisfied. And it really kind of reminds me of Kevin Hart in a sense, because if you haven't read Kevin Hart's book, I forgot the name of it, but I can pull up here while I'm talking. Kevin Hart's book is, and his story is very similar in the sense that he tried to make it in Hollywood. He got a couple pilots, things failed. He got a couple paychecks that were pretty big, and he spent them all really quickly, and then he was back in debt. And so he got beat up, and finally he just said, fuck it. He's like, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do this for me, and I'm going to hustle my ass off. I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to be out here going to these clubs, doing my comedy. And he started paying attention to certain people, specifically like, what the hell is the comic's name? Shit, you're going to realize that I'm going to lapse on some things that I'm going to have to reference or come back to just because the memory isn't 100% there all the time. But it is, he's a famous comic that came up in the early 2000s on the internet. Oh, so the name of, real quickly, go back to Kevin Hart. The name of his book is I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons. And he talks about this. Dane Cook. Boom. Got it. Bam. See how the brain works? as soon as you forget about it, it comes right back. So Dane Cook, all right? Dane Cook is the dude who really set the stage. He started doing things differently. He set up a website, spent a bunch of money, started collecting people's email addresses. He was like the first famous comedian on Twitter, and he had a huge following. It was fantastic, amazing. And I don't find Dane Cook, like, some of his early stuff is funny. But I started watching, they did like a documentary of him on a tour, and I thought he was like the biggest bitch ever, you know, on how he was like a prima donna and bitching about this and crying about that. And it was just like, yo, dude, really? Like, get over yourself. But anyway, and so from that, I lost a ton of respect. And his movies weren't really that good either. However, what he did really good was this part of marketing himself and building up this following and having this really strong social media presence, and then email. He was huge on MySpace. Like, just goes to show, like, when he was coming up. But he was huge on MySpace. He had a huge MySpace following. Turned to Twitter. Had a huge Twitter following on there. Was the first one really to talk about that type of stuff in the stand-up, too. And I remember watching his stand-up in Boston one time, his special. And it was incredible just to see what the dude did. But Kevin Hart took some of that and he twisted that around, and he actually started using the same thing, was getting people to follow him. Every club he did, he would collect the email addresses. So when he came back, he would already have a group of people, and he just kept on growing and growing. And the really inspiring part of this is that he would do clubs first, right? And then when he'd come back around, he would bump it up and start doing theaters. So he'd be, instead of 500 people or 300 people, he would have, 1,200 people at his shows. And then from the theaters, when he started, he recorded a couple of his specials and those took off and he did those himself. Then he started doing, bigger venues. And then his last special, he sold out a football arena of like 60,000 people and was like the first to ever do that. First stand-up comedian to ever do that. Like, that is what I call having big goals and pushing yourself and not being satisfied with where you are and what you're doing. And very much like that, I don't know, I've never heard Kevin Hart reference or pay homage to Dolemite. And Rudy Ray Moore is the guy, really. Dolemite was a character that he played. But if you watch an interview, Eddie Murphy was on the Tonight Show, or no, Stephen Colbert. He was on the Late Night Show, and he was talking about how at first he saw his movies when he was coming up, right? The Dolemite movie. He first saw him, it was like a big thing. It was a cult kind of classic, almost like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. It was funny because of how crappy or the quality was made, but he made it himself. And you could see like microphones in some shots. And all of that really makes me actually want to go watch the real movie Dolemite, which I'm going to do one of these days very soon. But watching that and listening to him talk, it was just, it's incredible. And Kevin Hart, very much the same way, like Dolemite came up with, he was trying to struggling with, singing and doing some other stuff. And then he, or Rudy Ray Moore, I should say. And then he got into this comedy and he started doing this rhyming, and he's like considered the godfather of rap, which is fucking funny to me. But he started doing this rhyming and very like crude talking, talking about pimps and hoes and all the shit that goes on in the streets during that time. And it's just so funny to listen to it. And it's really, really good, actually. Like, I've listened to his albums now after watching the movie, and you can get them on iTunes. And man, dude, this stuff is hilarious. It's like it's like poetry in a sense, with some music in the background, and he just rhymes and tells these crude stories, and it's just fucking hilarious. So anyway, he got big doing that, and he was touring around doing these little clubs or whatever, making some money. And he was, paying for his boys. He was taking care of his entourage, his group of friends that were helping him out. And then came the moment where he realized, I want to do a movie. Like, I want to put a movie out and do something big. And so sure enough, he was trying to get money, and he got money from his record label. And then he basically sold all his stuff, and his record label didn't just give him money. They basically fronted him the money for the rights of his albums. And so he really bet on himself. And then he recorded this movie. And at first he wasn't sure if he was going to put it out. No one was buying the movie. And then he got an opportunity, presented itself, and he was able to show the movie, and the movie picked up, and a movie house that actually denied him and said no to buying his movie saw what he did at the one theater and offered to buy the movie, and they did. And then it just blew up. But he made it for like $100,000 back in the 70s, and it did $10 million in the box offices eventually. So like, just goes to show, like, you never know what might be able to happen if you really have a passion and believe in something, and you have an audience for it. You gotta do it. Just go do it. Like, this is the reason why I keep on doing comedy, because I know I have an audience who, especially in local areas, that want to see comedy. They want to go out. They don't necessarily want to travel down 30 minutes and find parking and worry about who's going to be, you know, driving home and all that stuff. They just want to be able to have a convenient place where they could just go out and do more stuff locally, more local entertainment. I talk to people, I listen to people all the time. And so for me, that's why I want to do more shows in the area, because there's just this huge opportunity to do that. There's a need for it, and people are talking about it all the time. So anyway, the movie itself is fucking amazing. Go watch it. Dolomite Is My Name on Netflix. If you haven't watched it already, if you have, watch it again. I've watched it 3 times now, and it's funny as hell every time. Eddie Murphy kills it. He's not just, you know, funny in it, but he does really good job acting in it. I think Wesley Snipes steals the movie, though. Honestly, I love Wesley Snipes. I grew up watching Demolition Man, and I love Blade. I know a lot of people were kind of mixed with the whole Blade series, but I love Blade. Demolition Man, U.S. Marshals, all those movies that he was in, fucking loved Wesley Snipes. But he made a huge comeback. Plus, I've never seen him act so well in a fucking movie. Most of his movies are like him karate chopping and kicking people's asses and pretending to be a vampire. And in this one, he like legitimately plays a character and is fantastic. And what's even funnier is that he reminds me of a family friend. So I think everyone kind of might have a friend like this, but it reminds me, he looks like him. He's got the mustache like him. He acts like him. It's so funny. So Wesley Snipes steals the show in the movie. There's a scene where Eddie Murphy though is talking with the writer, one of the guys from the sketch show. This is going to be a recurring theme. This is how I do things. I don't always remember people's names. Maybe I need to start doing some research before I start talking, but fuck it, man. It's like, this is who I am. So anyway, Keenan Allen, whatever his name is, I'll look it up, but he is the writer. He plays the writer in the movie, and he's doing a scene with Eddie Murphy, and he is trying to pull the story out from it. And Eddie Murphy just started, Rudy Moore, starts looking for, shit, where am I going with this? I'm trying to research the guy's name real quickly. Oh, Keegan Michael Key. That's the dude. It's because his fucking name is so damn long, man. Like, when you go into show business, shouldn't you try to make your name simple for people? Like, I understand standing out, but that's his real name. So I don't know why I'm knocking it. I think that's his real name. Let me Wikipedia it real quickly. I think that's his real name. Well, it doesn't say anything different, so he might have just changed it. But anyway, he said he's the son of Leroy McDuffie and Carrie Herr. Because he was adopted. That's it. All right, there we go. He was adopted at a young age by a couple from Detroit, Michael Key and Patricia Walsh. Like both his parents, Michael is black and Patricia is white, which is okay. So makes sense. I see why now his name was changed. So, his name is Keegan Michael Key. I say that just so I can remember that. So, not like you really need. I'm sure you already knew that. So anyway, he plays the writer in the movie. Him and Eddie Murphy are sitting there and they're talking and they're spitballing, and Keegan's character is really trying to like make this a legitimate story. And then you have Eddie Murphy that's clashing with him because he wants Kung Fu in there. And the guy's like, you know Kung Fu? He's like, no, I don't know Kung Fu, but I'm a quick learner. And then he's like, well, we should do an exorcism in there. And that whole scene is by far, I think, the funniest scene in that entire movie. It's great. So that's my review. Shit was all over the place. That shit was hilarious. And so I highly recommend going to watch the movie. I will, if you watch it, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear from you. You can check me out on Twitter at Money in the Bank Productions. Also my personal one, which is Brandon M. Lewin. You can follow me on Facebook at Money in the Bank Productions on Facebook and leave me a comment on there. Same thing with my Instagram. So I appreciate you tuning in for this second episode of What's Going On In There. I've been watching this movie, like I said, I've done three times in like almost like a week or 2 weeks. I watched it by myself because I've been wanting to watch it since it came out. I've heard great reviews from other people. My wife went to bed early the night when I watched it, so her and I watched it again together, and she loved it. And I just think it's it's a funny movie, but it's inspirational, and it's a great story. Like, everyone loves great stories. I always say the stories sell, and this one is fantastic. So if you get a chance, go watch it. It's a great story. I'm going to also watch The Real Dolemite and get back to you and tell you how that fucking went, because his albums are good. I can't imagine the movie, and the movie from watching the movie of them making the movie looked amazing. So I can't wait to watch the actual Dolemite movie. If you've seen that, let me know what you think too. I mean, it was a kind of a cult classic in the 70s, but I don't know really many people that have seen it. So it'll be fun to watch. All right, guys, until next time, keep it fucking real. And I will talk to you shortly. All right, peace.